In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The glory of Christ is the cross. This may seem counterintuitive to us as we think about the brutal death of our Lord on this instrument of torture. There are many reasons why it would seem counterintuitive to us, but it is true that the glory of Christ is the cross. Now, how could this be? Scripturally speaking, we know from the books of Moses that the one who hangs on a tree is cursed. And yet Christ is the innocent, spotless Lamb of God, completely and utterly without sin. So it is that Christ's innocence means that the curse of the cross was taken upon him for our sake. For without human sin, Christ would not have had to go to the cross. And so his death there is our fault. He endured unimaginable torture and pain, the physical beatings, the mental toll, the spiritual draining of his abandonment by his disciples and indeed by God the Father. The cross is both shameful and uncomfortable for us to consider, and yet it is Christ's glory. And so it is not a coincidence that in our gospel text for this day, the word glory or some variant of that word is used 5 different times. So it is that today's gospel text, especially the latter part of it, reveals 3 ways in which the cross of Christ is glorious. First, the cross grants life from death. Consider our Lord's metaphor that he speaks beginning in verse 23, where he says, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Consider that metaphor of the grain of wheat falling into the ground, or we could think a little bit more broadly about any kind of seed falling into the ground. Some of us have more experience with gardening and planting than others, but the reality is, no matter how much we work with seeds, we don't understand how they work. You put these things into the ground, and yes, you have to make sure the soil has enough nutrients and enough water, that there is proper sunlight, but still, we don't understand what happens with that seed. Burying the seed under the ground should, by all logic, cause decomposition and death. And yet for a seed, it does not. The death of the seed ends up creating life. And not just life, but more and abundant and greater life. In the same way, the death of Jesus Christ, our Lord, defies rationality. He dies, is put into the ground, and yet that death brings forth new, greater and more abundant life. His sacrifice here in time grants us life in the world to come. And so it is that the life granted by the cross could be achieved in no other way than by Christ's redeeming death. He is that grain of wheat that goes into the ground that it may bear much fruit. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is glorious because it grants life from death. Now, secondly, the cross defeats Satan. Our Lord goes on, "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. Note here how our Lord acknowledges his own impending suffering and the toll that it would take upon him. His soul is deeply troubled. We see more about this in St. Luke's Passion account that we will read tomorrow. Our Lord's soul is troubled because of his impending suffering. But does he let that troubling future impact what he is about to do? Does it impact his resolve? No, he is as a soldier preparing for a glorious battle. He will not say, "Father, save me from this hour." No, this is why he has come. He knows it will be grueling and taxing. It will cost him his own life. But this battle is the way to glory, not just for himself, but for each one of us. And so Christ does not shy away from the battle for the end. The glory is guaranteed. This, the cross, is when the devil will be cast from his earthly throne. The stronger one, of whom we heard a number of weeks ago, has come to defeat the devil upon the cross. And so we will sing in that glorious hymn, "Sing My Tongue the Glorious Battle," on Good Friday. We will sing of how Christ, the world's Redeemer, as a victim, won the day. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is glorious because upon it he defeats Satan. Now finally, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is glorious because it makes us sons of light. Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." The light is with the disciples only a little while longer. Soon, the darkness will triumph. As Christ hangs upon the cross from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, that is from about noon to 3 p.m., the sun is gone. There is darkness covering the face of the land. It is, in many ways, the reciprocal of Joshua's glorious victory over the Amorite kings, where he commanded the sun to stand still and the light triumphed. But now, as Christ hangs upon the cross, it is the darkness that is there where there should be light. But it will not end this way. The darkness will come back, to be sure, to overtake those who are apart from Christ. But the light will triumph in the end. Easter dawn is coming. This much is assured. And so, dear friends in Christ, when the darkness of evil appears to triumph over Christ, when that same darkness gains the upper hand and inflicts suffering and death upon you, look to our Savior's glorious cross. For the cross grants life from death. The cross is the place where Satan is defeated, And the cross makes us sons of light. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.